You're tuned to listener-supported community radio KBOO, Portland, Oregon, in the beautiful Willamette Valley.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/board recruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once Upon a Time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here at KBOO 90.7 FM.
This is Cy Khan. I spend most of my time in North Carolina, but when I'm in the Pacific Northwest, I turn my dial to KBOO music for the rest of us. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Next up is A Veteran's Voice. The time is 9:02 a.m.
When the genocidal army came to lay the people low, to spirit them away from lands their fate had always known, the leaders of the free world turned away their greedy eyes to protect the settler colony and spread outrageous lies. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice. Slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. When the young folk made a stand to fight for all the human race, our leaders called them evil as they blinded them with mace. Yet stronger still they cried out loud for freedom to ring true. Oh, an end to the apartheid is so long overdue. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. We sing the name for freedom yet to still be attained. Now we see the rich folks smiling at the galas and soirees as the children of Gaza, their mangled bodies laid, their hungry eyes and blood-soaked hair still left out in the shade of the dimly shining eagle-lining pompous parade. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. To all the gallant heroes who boycott and divest, who stand against an occupying army's evil zest, I say to you, dear comrades, stay strong until the end. Free Palestine forever is the message we will send. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. Raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice on KBOO. Well, I just did that wrong. Okay, let's do it again. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin. And Ty is engineering for us as usual because he's a good guy. I want to say hello to some friends, Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy here in Aloha, and Mitty and her grandchildren, who are very wonderful people. I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and Amy Goodman came and talked about Donald Sutherland, the actor Donald Sutherland, who passed away at the age of 88. He was originally from Canada. And, you know, I've watched a lot of his movies, and he's, you know, but the one thing that I remember well about he, like Amy said, that he was part of the troop, anti-war troop that went to military bases along with Jane Fonda and others. And one of the people that was with them also was Peter Boyle. And Peter Boyle was in a great movie called Frankenstein. And he was Frankenstein, but he was also anti-war. And he was also in the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. But Don Sutherland, the thing that him and Peter Boyle and Jane Fonda and some of them were in, they made a documentary about it called Sir, No Sir. And it's all about them going to different military bases and how it was when they were there at these bases, it was just packed. And they sang all these songs and did skits and, you know, just anti-war. And one of them... it was in some outside of a military base because they wouldn't let him on, if I remember right. And it was by a Marine Corps base. And they're joining the show, and Jane Fonda stands, was up there. And she said, well, the commander of the base wants to send the Marines to close us down. And she said, he can't find them because they're all here at the thing they were putting on. Donald Sutherland, Jane Fonda, and Peter Boyle, and the others that were part of that. If you get a chance, look at the video documentary, Sir, No Sir. It's very good. It's very good. Anti-war. And Vietnam, it was the anti-Vietnam War, and it was just amazing, amazing. One of my friends, in fact, it was Kathy, sent me this text about a group called International Network for Aid and Relief that raises money and sends it to Gaza to help the children. And I looked at it and I read everything they had. And if you want to check that out, you can go to INARA.org if you want to check them out. I was listening, like I said, to Amy this morning, and she was talking about this new video documentary that really, really got to me and made me very, very angry about what's going on in Gaza with the people of Gaza and in the land of Gaza, I mean, the land of Palestine, and what's happening to them, the destruction and the killings. It's just horrendous. And the United States is just as guilty as Israel, because U.S. is sending them all this horrible weapons and stuff to kill the Palestinians. They're just as guilty. There's no doubt in my mind. Ty and I were talking earlier before the show, and we're, you know, talking. I said the United States is nothing but a war machine from around the world, killing innocent people around the world. And they say that the body count is 37,000 killed in Gaza. Of those killed, 33,000 are children. They say that 17,000 children are dead because of these weapons that are dropped on them by Israel, and those weapons are given to Israel by the United States of America. And the 17,000 children, I really believe that count's going up, because they don't know how many people are underneath all that carnage, underneath all those homes, buildings, schools, churches, mosques, water plants, everything, you know, that's been bombed to oblivion. And 9 months, and 37,000 people have been killed. We have to really put the pressure on this government to stop sending these weapons to Israel. I don't understand why. Well, I do, but I'm angry because, you know, the food has got to get to Israel. I mean, to Palestine, through it, the gate at Israel, stops them at Egypt and Jordan. All these places that their gates that they have to go through, these trucks have to go through, and bring food. You know, the Americans built a dock where they supposed to bring food in, and the Israelis gets to check everything before it's allowed to go in. And the media is not really covering that. Well, the mainstream media is not covering that. And people are starving to death. Their bodies are weak. Children are dying of starvation. They're dying of infections. They're dying of diseases. I think they have one hospital still going, but they need medicine. These wounds are horrendous on these people. These bombs are just tearing people apart. Just destroying everything. On that, will the night never end? That's going to be on Al Jazeera that Amy was talking about. They talked about this. I talked about it a few months back, about the little girl, Hind, who was in a car with her uncle and her relatives, and the Israelis attacked it, and it killed everybody but the two girls. If you had listened to Democracy Now and heard this voice of these two little girls begging to somebody to come and help them, they're both wounded. And the one cousin, Hen's cousin, died. So everybody died but her. And if you listen to her talking, Hen talking, it is just heartbreaking. it's just heartbreaking talking about the Israeli tank coming at, you know, right near them, and you could hear the machine gun on the tank, and she's bleeding because she'd been wounded before, and then no more, she died. And two Palestinians in a ambulance, which was okayed by the Israelis to come and get that little girl, was annihilated and killed the two people in the ambulance. You just think about the horribleness of this war going on. Just horrendous. You know, every war, it's the same thing. Like I said last month, that 90% of all the dead in a war is civilians. Civilians. People who have no weapons, they're not fighting back, and they're being bombed to oblivion. The people in Sudan, the civil war in Sudan, the people there are famined, are sick and dying. They need food, they need water, just like Palestine, and they're not getting that. The people in Myanmar are in a civil war against the military government. That's just a few of the wars that's going on around this world. And some we don't even know about. The Americans, they have special forces, special troops that are in countries in Africa. I believe it was Nigeria that kicked the Americans out and the Russians moved in. It's just these wars that just keep happening day after day, year after year, since 1776, this country has been at war. Our whole budget of this country, most of it goes to the military. We've talked about that before. It goes to the military. And then these so-called representatives and senators, you know, we get no single payer for health. Insurance is so high now. My insurance for my home and my pickup truck, and I live in the mountains in Washington County, and my insurance has doubled in the last year. It's doubled. There's no control on that. They just get, well, there's kind of a control, but it doesn't, you know, they never get denied. And I just, Ty and I were talking about it, and I was saying that the only way that the mass majority of American people will get out in the streets and protest against this government is when our standard of living goes way, way, way down. When food's so expensive, when electricity is so expensive, when gasoline's so expensive, when everything's really expensive that people can't survive, that's when the American people will get in the streets. They got us looking at the wrong thing. It's, you know, the southern border is just, you know, just it. And people have to be safe. If they come to this country, they to be safe. It's not just people from Mexico or Central or South America, it's people from China and Africa, you know. This country is so rich. So rich. We shouldn't have to... this country is so rich. There's no need for people to be dying because they don't have medical care. People that are homeless have a right to have a home, to have a house to live in. We have enough money in this country to house everybody, to feed everybody, to give medical care to everybody. But no, we put it in the military. I want to talk a little bit about the military and what happened to me down when the warships were here. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And actually, it's not funny because it's happened to me. But I last month when Sage was here, and she helped me on the show, and I really appreciate it. She was really enjoyable to talk to, and like I said on the show, I met her up at Portland State when the library up there was taken over. And she was in the crowd outside. I think she did go inside to look around just like I did. And Mike Casey went. I went twice. I went once by myself, and then I went with Mike Casey, who's been on this show before. And his birthday is Sunday, and I'm going to a birthday party for Mike. And I think he's going to be 78 or 79. Whew. I'm 75, and I met Sage there, and she was in the line that was being, oh man, it's just still making me mad. The police were there, you know, right in front of us, and she was in the line right towards the police, and I was on the line right next to the police, and she asked me if she could talk to me, and I said sure, why not, you know. We made a time to meet, and we met at a coffee shop, and we talked. I think we talked for 2 hours, and she's one of us, folks. She's one of us. There's just no doubt about it. She's one of us. And more and more, we need more and more and more people out there in the streets right now, because our sisters and our brothers in Palestine are being slaughtered. We should be in the streets more often than we are. We here in Portland, we have rallies, boy. We have rallies against this war that the United States is part of and guilty of. We just need more and more and more people. I wish that every high school would walk out, and every junior high would walk out on one day, just every school, high school in Portland and universities in Portland would just walk out in protest against the war being waged on the people of Palestine. Because they are our sisters, and they are our brothers, and they are being killed. But I just think about that, and it just makes me so sad. I go to every rally that's being held here in Portland in support of our sisters and brothers in Palestine. Last month when Sage was here with me, we got to going so hard that I didn't do a very good job on our asking for donations to our station, and I just want to do that now. And if you would like to donate to our station now, which is a great station, we're in our 34th year doing this radio show here in Portland, Oregon. I'm a natural born Oregonian. I was last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was down in Yahats with my brother and sister-in-law. And it's so much fun, but Friday we drove from Yahats over to Roseburg because there was a memorial for my cousin Karen's husband, Smitty, who retired from the Air Force. He's passed, and they had a memorial, and then they put his ashes in one of the crypts there in Roseburg's National Cemetery there. And my cousin Karen, who was also in the Air Force, she's really, really sick too, but it was nice to see my relatives that I hadn't seen in a long time down there. But you know, when they put Smitty's ashes in that crypt, I thought, boy, all he'd been through. But you know, life goes on. If you want to donate to our wonderful station, the people here are so nice and they work so hard to put these programs on, and I just wish I had last month talked more about it. But if you want to support our wonderful station, you can go to kboo.fm and there's a donate button you can hit, or you can mail it, your donation, to KBOO Radio Station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And, you know, our station's been on a long time, and we keep going. And like I told Ty, you know, that this country's going to be at war unless we change it. But if you want to donate to our wonderful country, wonderful radio station, Ty just looked at me, gave me a funny look. If you want to donate to our wonderful radio station, you can go to kboo.fm and hit the donate button. You can do it that way. Or you can send your donation to KBOO Radio Station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And Ty, you want to go ahead and play that second song for me? Okay, buddy. He's going to play another song that, and then after that song, I'll talk about what happened to me down by the warships.
Traumatized, they say occupation, trying to hide that it's a genocide. I just wish a kid could grow up to see his mama. Wish that I could do something about bombs dropped on Gaza. Hurts so bad to know, where do my tax dollars go? Peace was the only thing that he ever craved.
God that the world gon' finally see what goes on overseas and behind the scenes. A little boy got his neck on the concrete, like George Floyd and a kid when he trying to breathe. He threw a rock, but they got a tank. Dead on the floor, he been praying for change. You murder children, no, we not the same. You got my people, they dying in chains. Ain't nobody evil like the IDF. Little kid in his thoughts thinking I might be next. He got shot, in peace may he rest. I seen it in the videos and photographs. You shoot a kid and you laugh about it. Hurt so bad, nobody ever ask about it. Too many bodies to count with simple mathematics. Family's gone and it's so traumatic.
Leave his home alone. He was there his whole life. Now everything is gone. He don't got no shoulder to cry on, not even moms. They done made him homeless. Now he got no one. Family deceased by explosions. Mentally he's scarred.
That song is just so heartbreaking to listen to, that song about our sisters and brothers in Palestine. I have this saying that I look at every day, and it says, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And I truly believe that to be true. What's going on in Palestine is just nothing more than a war crime, nothing more than genocide against the people. To get on a happier note, when the warships were here in our Rose Festival, which makes me really angry because they used that time to recruit. I was down there with John Grushow and Dan Shea and Dan Handelman and some others that were there, and they we had banners we were right by the Japanese memorial down on the waterfront, and they had, you know, we had our banners up, and I think Malcolm was there for a while. I'm not sure, but the banners were saying, you know, about, you know, ROTC and about recruiting and, you know, the school board just said that if the principal of our high schools want to have ROTC, they, you know, they can, but they're going to be protested if they have ROTC. And so I was there standing. We were right on the grass up there, and right across from one of the ships. And there was just, they have it blocked off, you know, blocked off. And so there was a walkway that people were waiting to go on that ship. That there was a couple ships. And they had these booths set up or on this walkway there. And farther down was a Canadian ship. And so I walked down there, and there were all these Navy guys, Marines there, you know, and all their uniforms, and there were these, you know what, there were booths down there, recruiting booths for the FBI and the CIA and the Navy recruiting, and I think the Coast Guard was recruiting, and something, there's some recruiting, I'll talk about that in a minute, but then more recruiting, kind of, you know, people giving in. So I was down there, and I was saying to them, you know, don't be recruiting in our Rose Festival. It's not a place for you to come and recruit. So I went to every one of these little booths down there and told them that, you know. And I walked past, I went down to the Canadian ship, and there was a guy standing there, and then there was a young woman with her Navy, I guess they're Navy, and she was had a automatic rifle with her. And she couldn't have been more than 20 years old. And the guy couldn't have been more than 22 years old. And I said, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't come down here. You're probably a lot safer in Canada than you are down here. And the young guy said, you know, we come down here because we get invited to and everything. He didn't seem very enthusiastic about being there. And the young woman, she, I think she talked to me just a little bit, you know, about being in the Canadian Navy. I said, I carried, in Vietnam, I carried a rifle almost like that one you're carrying. You know, that's to kill people with. You know, you're not going to kill anybody here. I don't see any reason for you to be out there with that weapon. And she didn't really say anything after that. So then I went back to where the Navy ship was, and they were giving this tour and had all these kids around this guy talking. And I said to him, don't believe him, because these are warships. You know, these are built to kill people. And the guy just looked up to me, and the people looked at me up. I was on the sidewalk looking down on them. And they didn't say anything. They just kind of looked at me. And so then I walked back down towards the middle of where all the booths were set up. And I saw some young guys talking to this Marine guy, you know, and everything. I said to the Marine guy, I think it was a Marine. I said, don't be recruiting these kids. Don't be recruiting them. And all these other soldiers on the ramp to go up to the Navy, you know, are looking at me. And the guy said, well, they asked to have my picture taken with them. I said, you're recruiting. That's what you're doing. You're recruiting. And the other folks, the military folks behind him, they didn't say anything. And so then I went to the booths again, and I said, remember, this is not a recruiting down here. This is a Rose Festival. A Rose Festival. So I went to them again. But I went to this one booth, and I don't remember what this guy was doing. It was something. I don't remember what it was. He said it's like the Boy Scouts. You know, it's something to do with the Navy. It's kind of like the Boy Scouts. And I said, that's recruiting. And I was wearing my Vietnam Veterans Against the War T-shirt. And everybody saw that. I remember Dan Shea. He was carrying, I think, Veterans for Peace flag. And he was down with me for just a little while. And he was saying, free, free Palestine, free, free, free Palestine. And he was there for a little while. And then he left. And So this guy started hollering at me at this booth, you know. He started hollering, get out of here. Just really nasty. And so I was going to reach down and take one of the things he's given away to people. And he goes, and right then this woman, Marine woman, came up and was standing there. And I says, she was young. She's probably 24, 25, in uniform and all this junk. And I says, why are you in the military or in the Navy? I said, the Navy has more sexual harassment and rape of female members in the Navy, in the Marine Navy. I said, why are you in the military? When I said about the sexual harassment and the rape and all that, she says, I agree with you. She said, I agree with you. And I said, well, why are you still in the military then? And she didn't say anything after that. Then I walked away to another booth. I said, don't be recruiting down here. This is a Rose Festival. And I went to the next booth, did the same thing. Then I went around and went back up on the grass to be with the rest of the folks with the signs up there, John Grushow and Dan Hanneman and the folks. And so about 30, maybe 40 minutes, here comes a city cop, comes right in my face, you know, and I didn't back up. He thought I was going to back up, but I wasn't going to back up. And he says, we got some complaints that you're down here causing trouble and all this stuff. And I says, I have right for free speech. I can say anything I want. And he was just saying all this stuff, you know, and he said, what'd he say? He said, oh, he says the city gave the Navy this down here. And I said, oh, no, wait a minute. I says, in the 1990s, we had a big suit against the city and the security people who were doing that, and we beat them because the city cannot give away public stuff. They cannot give the Navy that area down there, the sidewalks. They can't give that to them. And he was saying some first thing I do when he walked up to me, I said, am I under arrest? And he said, no. And I says, am I being detained? He said, yes. And then he started saying stuff, and I started saying back. And then I says, am I free to go? And he says, no. I says, am I being detained? He said, yes. And right behind me standing was Dan Handelman from Peace Watch, Cop Watch. And he was right behind me, and he took a picture of this guy. And Dan had told me earlier that about this cop, that he had been involved in a shooting here in Portland. And so when the cop was up right in my face, I said, were you involved in a shooting here in Portland? And he got quiet, but then he came back, you know, and he says, you're being banned from down here. He says, go get on the sidewalk. I said, why am I being banned? He says, because the Navy complained. So I went and stood over there, and I thought, wait a minute. I called him. I said, come here. And he came over, and I said, I want to talk to your commander. He says, okay, I'll call him. And so then he walked back over to the Navy warship people. And about 10 minutes later, here comes a couple cop cars. and one of the cops came over, and we were talking and about the Navy ships and everything, complaining and everything. And he brought up something. I think he also brought up that the city gave that down to the Navy. And we were talking. I says, You know, these are warships. They're made to kill people. This is a Rhodes Festival. And we're talking back and forth. And then here come the commander. And Dan Hanneman's right behind me still. And he's taking pictures of all the cops in it for me. And the commander comes up there, and I'm talking to this other guy. And the commander says, what's the problem? I said, well, I'm talking to this guy over here first. And I talked to this guy a little bit. Then I went back to talk to the commander. And he was saying all this stuff, you know. Rah, 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 rah. And I'm doing back to him, yeah. And finally he says, you cannot go back down there. You can't go back down there. And I says, I have a right to. And he says, the Navy doesn't want you down there. And so they asked me for my driver's license. So I pulled out my wallet, and I'm looking in there. I know right where it's at. And I'm looking in it. I'm pulling stuff, looking at it and everything. And I had my Doc Martens. I had them resold. So I had a sticker thing about it. It's not a sticker, but a little piece of paper. And my driver's license was right underneath it. So I pulled the red thing and my driver's license. I know it's in here somewhere. And I started to pull that out again. And the cop, there was 11 cops. 11 cops. And me, 75-year-old pro peace activist with 11 cops around me. And so I started to do this again, and one of the cops who was standing a little farther over, he said, "That it's right there. It's right there underneath that red thing." I said, "Oh, here it is. Yeah, you're right." I said, "How did you see that being over there?" He says, "Because I've done this a lot, and I know what the back of that looks like." I thought, wow. So I gave it to the commander, and I was talking to this other cops. One was right close to me, and I had water in my bag. I carry this bag with me all the time. So I lifted the flap up to get some water, and he just looked real close at what I was doing, and I did it a couple of times. And we were talking about peace and stuff like that, and I asked some of the cops, any of you been in the military? And they said, some of them said yes. And I said, then you know what's going on here. And they really didn't say anything. And so the cop with the commander guy was in his car. He had been on the radio. You know, they give him my birth date and all that stuff, see if there's warrants out for my arrest. And he looked over at me for some reason. And then he came back and he says, we don't want to arrest you. We don't want to arrest you. I said, I don't want you to arrest me. You know, you're taking their word over mine, over me. I told you what I did. You know, and the guy says, well, we're going to write you a ticket for disorderly conduct. We don't want to arrest you. And I said, I don't want to be arrested. And so he had this ticket all written out and everything. And he had my driver's license with him. And I put my hand to get my driver's license. He said, oh, I got to explain some stuff first. And he said, you have a court date on July 3rd. At 8:30 in the morning. And I went, you're giving me a ticket to go to court for freedom of speech and the right to be down there because the city can't give that away. And you're taking their word over mine. And he said, you have to be at the courthouse at 8:30 in the morning on January 3rd, if you don't show up, they'll write a bench warrant to arrest you. And I said, well, I don't want to be arrested at all. They'll probably, when I go there, Dan and said that they probably will drop the charges, but, you know, if they ask me, how do you plead, I want to say not guilty, because they don't have a right to give that property down there, public property, to the Navy at all. My master, I have to take a drink of water every now and then. And they don't have a right to give that away, and they cannot stop us from having freedom of speech down there. If the Navy doesn't like it, I don't care if they don't like it. I don't want them to recruit our children to be in their warships. If a kid cannot find a recruit Navy recruiting station, they shouldn't want that guy or girl because they're not smart enough to find a Navy recruiting office. I was standing there when I was talking to that first cop. I can't remember his name. Starts with an S. Dan told me. He sent me pictures of him and the other cops. Dan sent me pictures. And I was standing there when the first cop came up following him, but they didn't come up to me. They were standing down farther. There was about five or six of them. Navy guys. One had a NCIS. That's a Navy criminal investigation or something, you know. He had this vest on it, had that on there. But he didn't come up there with that cop at all. And the cop was lying. He was saying things like, you know, you're trying to steal stuff from a guy. And I said, no, they were giving them away. You know, and they just lying. So I have to be at court on July 3rd at 8:30 in the morning. It was the city police, so I think it's probably city cop. The address is on the bottom. He told me, and I can't remember. And so, yep, they tried to stop our freedom of speech. They gave away public property. That's what the cops said. And the Navy doesn't want us to have freedom of speech against their recruiting of children. So I'll tell you what happens in the next show, but yeah, it's not funny. It's serious, you know. It was funny when it was happening, but it was serious. Because, you know, freedom of speech is really important to us. And they cannot give away property, public property, and to tell us we can't be down there. That's just completely wrong. July 3rd, 8:30, I'll be in court. Saw this article. Well, my brother-in-law, Laurel's brother, sent me this article. It's called A Disaster of the U.S. Military's Own Making. And it talks about suicide in the Navy and the military. And it's a long article. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but it just talks about this one guy's and what he was going through when he came back from the war and I think it was Iraq. I think it was Iraq, and I don't think it was Afghanistan. But it talks about this guy and what he was going through and what he was thinking and how he was feeling, and nobody was noticing that he was slipping away. And he commits suicide. The whole military has a problem with suicide. Not just rapes, you know, rapes of both women and men. We talked about that. We interviewed a ex-Navy guy who had been raped while he was in the Navy. the military has this really bad problem with suicide. I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about this clinic, this young female doctor had started, and it was a complete clinic with everything they needed was right there, and one of them was abortions, which a woman has a right, it's her body, to decide what she's going to do with that, with her body. Nobody has a right to tell her. And they were talking about, it was in Virginia, in the state of Virginia, where my ancestors are. But she was saying that they were getting a lot of Navy personnel coming in for the abortion treatment. Navy personnel, a lot of them. It was just really interesting to me that was happening. Before, you know, we only have a few minutes left. I want to tell you about a book that's really interesting if you want to read a good book. It's by Chris Hedges. It's called The Greatest Evil is War. It's a great book. Chronicles of a war foretold. It just got some great chapters in it, and he's such a great writer. The greatest evil is war, and Ty and I was talking about that earlier. I want to say one more time, if you want to donate, you can go to kboo.fm, hit the donate, or you can send it to KBOO radio station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And that I will, I'll be back next month if, you know, depending on, darn it. Sorry, I thought I had that turned off. Angie would be really mad at me when Angie was here with me. She was telling me, turn that thing off. So, here, we'll be back on July 19th. And there it is. Thank you for listening. And Ty is going to play a song to take me out of here. And I hopefully will see you next month at July 19th at 9 a.m. Thank you very much. I appreciate every one of you.
From lands their feet had always known, the leaders of the free world turned away their greedy eyes to protect the settler colony and spread outrageous lies. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. When the young folk made a stand to fight for all the human race, our leaders called them evil as they blinded them with mace. Yet stronger still they cried out loud for freedom to ring true. Oh, an end to the apartheid is so long overdue. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. Now we see the rich folks smiling at the galas and soirees as the children of Gaza, their mangled bodies laid, their hungry eyes and blood-soaked as to...
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
to Community Radio, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open